is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1.
I've tried everything that good in my life in this world.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Stand. Lord, let me be a follower of Christ. God bless both our youth and our adult choirs for lifting up the name of the Lord. And I was so happy to see so many of our choir members in the citywide revival choir, including our director. Amen. Thank you so much. In the book of Psalms, the 56th number of the book of Psalms, there is a word from the Lord. Amen. The 56th number, book of Psalms. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Verse 10, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, Father, that you will speak a word into the hearts and minds of your people. A word that will remind them that you are God and you alone can handle our situations. We thank you and we give you praise. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Anyone who is attempting to live victoriously for God is going to encounter some opposition along the way. It is naive, my brothers and sisters, to believe that because you are well-mannered and well-intentioned, that events are going to unfold in your life without tension, without problems, and without difficulties. There will be moments of misery. There will be days of distress. There will be times of trouble. And there will be seasons of suffering. No person is isolated against irritation, and none of us are permanently protected from pain. But the good news is you can make it. Tell your neighbor you can make it. Yes, you can make it through. You can make it out. You can make it over by the grace of God. And that's the meaning of this message and the testimony of this text. For the 56th Psalm was composed and sung by David during the course of him pursuing the purpose and plan of God for his life. His pursuit unfolded within the context of Saul's relentless persecution of and Saul's desire to kill David. And the historical context of this text emerges out of 1 Samuel chapter 21. And I would challenge you to read 1 Samuel chapter 21 when you get time. Amen. Where David's flight from Saul's persecution positioned him in the camp and in the hands of his arch enemies, the Philistines. Weary from battle and emotionally drained, his twisted rationale for going there was that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Weary from battle and emotionally drained, his twisted rationale almost caused him to lose his life. And so out of a frantic desire to escape Saul, he took refuge in the Philistine camp, but quickly discovered that the enemies of God's purpose are never the friends of God's people. Yeah. that their hatred for each other is only surpassed by their disdain for what God is doing in your life. I need somebody here today to understand, amen, that sometimes the folk you think hate you, it's not so much that they hate you. What they hate is the favor of God on your life. Oh, I had to learn for myself not to take every little backbiting situation personally, because I figured it out that sometimes it's not that they don't like you. They don't like the anointing that God has placed on your life. That hatred, amen, that some folk have for each other is only surpassed by their disdain for what God is doing in your life. Let me put it more plainly. There are people who can't stand each other, but they will join together in their not being able to stand you. I preached a sermon about that a little while ago. People who normally wouldn't speak to each other will find common conversation if it means talking against you. You remember in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, you Bible readers will remember that it was Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem who, although they were historical rivals, they joined together in their opposition against Nehemiah. They didn't want the brother to rebuild the wall. They didn't want the brother to do what God had called him to do. They didn't want him to fulfill the purpose, amen, that God has for his life. And let me tell you, young folk especially, you got to be careful of the folk you call your friends. You got to be careful, because sometimes those folk are trying to get just close enough to you so they can get enough dirt on you to hinder you from accomplishing what God has called you to do. Is there anybody here this morning who has figured out that everybody who calls themselves your friend is not necessarily a friend? In the New Testament Gospels, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, those were the holy folk, they joined with the Herodians, the worldly folk, in their opposition to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because the enemy is always the enemy. And y'all, David realized that, and having come to his senses in the text, he began to act crazy. And that's a paradox, because when the Philistines thought he was sane, he had actually lost his mind. But when he came to his senses and started acting crazy, it was because he had regained his sanity. He acted so crazy that the Philistines let the brother go. And I've got to pause right here and tell you that it's one of the mysteries of grace that sometimes the way God releases you from your enemies is to put you in a situation where you got to act a little crazy. Now, I know, amen, I'm your pastor, and amen, I'm the pastor of this great church, Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, but every now and then, Brother Thompson, I realize that the only way I can get some release from some of my enemies, oh my, oh my, oh my, I got to act a little crazy. Pray for me. Pray for me. David acted insane and they released him. And during his release party, he composed this psalm. That's where we get this song from. Y'all remember that the book of Psalms is a song book. It is a song of trust that has a recurring theme. Y'all ready to see what the theme is? Here's the theme. When I am afraid, God, I'm going to trust in you. If somebody needs to just say that audibly, you need, come on, say it with me. When I am afraid, God, I'm going to trust in you. See, you didn't realize, amen, that your deliverance is so easy, so simple. You thought you had to know every book of the Bible. You had to know the major prophets from the minor prophets. But I've come by to tell somebody today, in your ongoing fight, that fight on your job, that fight with the neighbor, that your deliverance is your accepting the right reality that if you trust in God, he will make a way out of no way. Come on, I got some witnesses in here. You thought you were lost. You thought your situation was done with. Amen. But you figured out that if I trust in God, he'll make a way. Here David references his opposition, how his words were being warped, how his enemies were crushing him, how arrogant and high-minded people had risen up against him, how his every move was being scrutinized in an effort to diminish his light and his life. And yet, in the midst of this consideration, he recognizes the danger of focusing on these things alone. Because get this, if he only focused on the opposition and on who and what was lined up against him, that would breed in him anxiety, uncertainty, and fear. Anxiety, uncertainty, and fear. It was that type of morbid focus that caused him to run from Saul into the hands of the Philistines in the first place. Therefore, having learned his lesson, looking over his shoulders, he asserts and affirms for us how he made it through those agonizing moments. David, how did you make it? Amen. And my brothers and sisters, in the midst of situations that are stressful and circumstances that are chaotic, you and I can ill afford to permit ourselves to focus exclusively on the stuff our enemies are throwing at us. What we have to do is pull up, pull out, and pull on those things in our history that remind us of how we made it this far. Is there anybody willing to take a journey back in your mind with me right now? Amen. Amen. A few years ago, you didn't think you'd ever see this day. You didn't think you would live to be this age. You didn't think you would make it to this point in your life. But I want you with me and David right now to just take a mental journey back over your life. Come on, think about the stuff you went through that you didn't think you would make it through. Come on, think about that sickness that you had and the report that the doctors gave. But you're here this morning as a living testimony of what God is. Come on, where are my witnesses? You are a living, breathing testimony of what God is able to do. And I think sometimes we get it twisted because we want the choir to do all the praising. We want, amen, amen, the deacons to do all the praying. Amen. We want the preacher to do all the preaching. Amen. Not recognizing that we are walking, talking billboards of what God is able to do. We are walking advertisements of the power of our God. And I dare you, I double dare you to open your mouth and give God praise for what only he was able to do in your life. When trouble arises and difficulty shows up, when trials march across the terrain of your life, when tragedy cuts you off in the lane of progress, it's important to understand that degrees alone cannot deliver you. Accolades alone won't assist you. Assets alone won't aid you. You need to know God and what God is able to do. When the storms of life beat relentlessly against your door, when the bottom drops out, when the unpredictable and unexpected tag team and try to take out your confidence, you need to know God. Tap somebody and say, that's how I made it. I know God, and more importantly, God knows me. Now, that's a good spot to give him praise. The neighbors may not know my name, but God does. Oh, come on, somebody. And God knows my every thought. God sees, this text alerts us to this reality, that God sees every tear that falls. God hears me when I call. Amen. I know God, and God knows me. And I'm not just talking about mental assent to God. I'm not talking about just knowing God theoretically.
I'm talking about knowing him because I've been walking with him and he's been walking with me and talking with me. Sometimes when I called y'all, you had your phone on do not disturb. Sometimes when I texted y'all, y'all looked at it and said, I don't want to be bothered right now, but I'm so happy to report to you that it's been late in the midnight hour sometimes. And I didn't have anybody else to call on, but I called on Jesus. And is there anybody who knows he may not come when you want him, but he'll show up on time. Give him praise in this place. I'm talking about knowing that even when things don't add up, God still can. I'm talking about knowing that when things don't make sense, God can still fix it. I'm talking about being in a position, a posture, and a place in your life where you don't need anyone to know it for you because you know it for yourself. See, there was a time I used to talk about what my mama knew and how my mama was saved and how my mama knew God. Amen. But now I can stand flat-footed and tell you that I know him for myself. I know him to be a redeemer. I know him to be a waymaker. I know him to be a doctor. I know him to be a lawyer. I know him to be a friend. If you can say you know him, give him praise. And when you know for yourself, you don't waste time trying to convince others that you know him. Looking back on his reality, where he had been hunted and hounded from cave to field, day in and day out, David was able to announce, this I know for certain, I made it out, I made it through, and I made it over because of God. If David were here today, he'd ask Pleasant Hill, do you want to know how I made it? I made it, first of all, because of God's position. Listen to verse 9. He said, this I know for certain, God is on my side. God is for me. As he was being pursued by Saul, who had every intention of assassinating him, he understood that his predicament was not an indication that God was against him. And y'all got to be careful because sometimes when you get in trouble or sometimes when bad things happen in your life, there are some church folk who will try to make you think it's because, amen, God is angry with you. You got to be real careful. You got to be real careful because there are folk who have misunderstood the word, and some of them misapply the word. Some of them do it on purpose. They try to act like they don't have any trouble or any problems. And just because you do, they want you to think that you've done something to upset and anger God. But I've come by to tell you today, my brothers and sisters, that there's one thing you ought to know beyond any shadow of a doubt, and that is that God loves you. I don't care how much folk try to convince me, amen, that my problems or my troubles are because God is angry with me. I pull up the record. I pull up John 3:16 that reminds me that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting. I don't care how many times folk try to convince me that it's because of my sinful ways that God is against me, that somehow my troubles are because God is angry with me. I pull up the record that says while we were yet sinners, he died for me. You ought to thank God today that he loves you. So God has had to flip the script and bring trouble our way sometimes. Amen. Because the aim of the adversary, the desire of the devil, is to convince you and I that trouble is an indication that God is angry with you, that God is out to get you, that you have obviously done something wrong. Amen. So what God will do is he'll flip the script, bring trouble your way. But as a child of God, you should understand that God's basic orientation towards us is positive and not negative. It is triumph and not trauma. It is uplift and not downfall. In fact, one of the verses that many of us learned in Sunday school that I just quoted to you, "For God so loved the world," ought to remind you of his everlasting love. Paul would later reflect upon God's basic disposition towards us and sum it up this way. He said, "If God be for us, then who can be against us?" Y'all, you don't have to ever wonder what or how God feels about you in your days and in your good days and in your bad days, in your best moments and in your worst moments. If you ever begin to doubt God's orientation and inclination toward you, then just permit your imagination to run out to a hill called Calvary and remember that there the Son of God on an old rugged cross, stretched high and wide, bearing your sin, carrying your sorrows, dying your death. God put on Jesus everything that God can't stand about Ghana. God put on Jesus everything that God can't stand about you. And you wonder why you ought to give him praise. You wonder why you ought to worship him. Every time you consider the fact that he hung on the cross and became sin for us, you ought to want to give him some praise. Every time you consider the fact that they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet, not because he messed up, but because we messed up, you ought to want to give him praise. Give him praise in this place. I made it because of God's position. He's on my side. But secondly, David lets us know that he made it because of God's participation. It is important as people of faith to affirm the permanence, the purpose, and the particularity of God. And here in Psalm 56, David talks about his permanence. Psalm 56, he talks about his permanence. Now, if you're looking for it, you may not see it at first glance. But I want to clue you in on how he talks about the permanence of God. It's right there in the fact that he calls him Elohim. Elohim suggests the eternality of God. Elohim translates into English the Almighty God. Y'all, this is God's covenant name. That points to eternality. The rich reality that God always was, God always is, and God always shall be. Now, I want you to juxtapose that against your enemies. That God always was, that God always is, and that God always shall be. I don't care how high the position your enemy holds. God always was, God always is, and he always shall be. I want you to juxtapose that against the sickness that's running through your body. God always was, God always is, and God always shall be. That God is self-existent. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying no one birthed him into being. He is permanently and forever who he is. He is inexhaustibly himself. He doesn't run out of anything that he has, nor can he exhaust any part of who he is. He's got all the power he's ever had. He's got all the power he ever has. He's got all the power that he will ever have. Therefore, he can be trusted in every situation and every time in our life to come through and deliver, to come through and fight your battles, to come through and make a way for you, to come through and use your enemies as your footstool. I've come by to tell you today, no matter how it looks, that you can make it because of God's position and because of his participation. He's there. I said he's there.